At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Racing fans, Santa Anita's Classic Meet is underway, and there has never been a better time to experience world-class racing and so much more at the Great Race Place. Be sure to join us for special holiday racing this Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Monday is also Dollar Day, with $1 beers, sodas, and $2.
Down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When the sun goes down and the moon comes up, I turn into a teenage cuckoo mug. Yeah, I cruise through the city and I roam the streets, looking for something that is nice to eat. You better die when I show up.
I could not resist adding the Cramps to the musical lineup. For those that have not watched Wednesday yet, and here's Seth Merrow, and I guarantee Seth hasn't watched it yet, but right? You have not watched the Wednesday Addams show yet?
Somebody last week gave it like a big thumbs up, though. Otherwise, it would not have hit my radar. But now I've heard two, so now I'm going to have to pull it up.
For those of us that grew up with the original TV Addams Family, and then, of course, the two movies, with the second one being, Addams Family Values, is one of the funniest things I've ever, to this day, whenever it's on, we will watch it, and it feeds the highlight of it, it you know, in addition to Joan Cusack as Debbie and Christopher Lloyd as Uncle Fester, the Christina Ricci performance as Wednesday is just so delicious. But this Wednesday TV series, and it, I don't know if they're doing a second season or not, it is so fabulous and so entertaining and clever and funny and smart, and it's just everything. And then it features, you know, for those, I mean, Tina's got TikTok, I do not, a dance sequence that to the Cramps, that to Goo Goo Muck, which I had not heard. I mean, I had not heard the song, I mean, probably since I was, I mean, might have still been in high school or college. And it was like, you've got to be kidding me. It is so much fun. So, I mean, and you don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be older and know the Addams Family. As it happens, Seth, Charles Addams went to Colgate. And so Charles Addams, you know, as a you know, brilliant cartoonist and just as a prominent alum, is a big deal at Colgate. I think he was a Theta Chi. And just a big fan. There's so much about it that you'll, any Addams Family fan will just absolutely love. And Christina Ricci is in it as one of the teachers at the private school that they send Wednesday to, because she let loose a school of piranha in the pool to get back at in high school to get back at a boy. It is fabulous.
The callback with Christina Ricci, I like that. Like I said, I wouldn't even have thought about it, but somebody about a week ago told me it was worth watching, so I'll have to pull it up. At the time, I was not a big Addams Family or Munsters fan.
Well, the Munsters, back in the day. The Munsters was just silly and stupid. Not that there weren't some engaging elements to it, but the Addams Family, because of the origin in the New Yorker, because of Addams' artwork, you know, had a much longer gestation period and you know, had a backstory.
Yeah, what, John Astin, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Carolyn Jones as Morticia. In this, as it happens, Catherine Zeta-Jones plays Morticia. And there's going to be people, those that got used to the two movies and loved, oh my gosh, what's his name, who died prematurely, sadly, the wonderful, oh my God, who played Gomez in the movie, in the two movies. They cast Louis Guzman as Gomez in this series. And if you're familiar with the cartoons, you'll recognize that Louis Guzman physically is much more, a much better approximation of what Charles Addams created in terms of Gomez. So
is the family in it much? Because as I understood, she's off at school someplace, right?
She's off at school, but there's tons of references because they both had gone to this to this private school. Morticia and Gomez, and all, you know, all the misfits basically that inhabit the world of the Addams Family, and their thing figures most prominently because Thing is sent to basically keep an eye on Wednesday, and Wednesday figures that out in about 30 seconds because she's deliciously clever. But who else shows up? There is a surprise episode appearance of Fester, which is fun. Pugsley really does not figure very much at all. Fred Armisen it plays Fester, which is kind of a surprise casting. There is some Lurch. There you get a little bit of Lurch, but it is. absolutely all this girl, Jenna Ortega. She dominates. I mean, she is, and the dance sequence is, you know, basically took over TikTok, you know, about a month ago, 6 weeks ago.
All right. I'm going to have to pull it up because that will save me the nightly going through about a zillion movies and TV shows that I don't want to watch on Netflix. And I sit there every night and go through and hope something new will be there that will pull me in, but it never does. But I'll pull that up now.
Well, and it's the school is Nevermore Academy, and the synopsis is quite something. First of all, the show is described as comedy horror, which you don't get all that often. But while attending Nevermore Academy, Wednesday Addams attempts to master her emerging psychic ability, thwart a killing spree, and solve the mystery that embroiled her parents 25 years ago.
Comedy horror mystery.
it's got it all. And of course, I've become a ridiculous sucker for this, as well as for Riverdale. I haven't talked to people about Riverdale in a couple of seasons, but the reimagined Riverdale, the Archie cast. Have you not watched Riverdale either?
I have not watched Riverdale either, but just to talk about that. When I was a kid, I read the Archie comics. So that now they have moved on to this. It's a leap for me.
Oh my God, you're making a huge mistake. And if you're get engaged by Wednesday, then you will have to move on to all seven seasons. And this apparently is going to be the final season of Riverdale. Because by all rights, they should be out in the working world. It's been seven seasons. How many years can you drag out high school at Riverdale High? But it is so fabulous, and it's made stars of the cast. Tina and I just absolutely were immediately grabbed. Even Tina was immediately grabbed by it, and I was a mammoth Archie fan. And it has everything, Seth. I mean, it, including Josie and the Pussycats, and Archie and his terrible singing. Betty and Veronica part with Betty stars appropriately in this. The one negative.
Jughead?
No, Jughead's great. Jughead Jones. Are you kidding? I mean, Jughead is also a star, more than Archie.
Who was like the jock, the kind of brainless
Moose?
Moose, right? Moose.
Well,
and Moose and his girlfriend
Midge. And here's my complaint. Everybody, you know, we all grew up, and it was always, you know, Betty or Veronica. I thought Midge was way, way underappreciated. And the fact that she was going out with the star football player said a lot. And maybe that's why Midge was unavailable to those of us watching, reading, because she was, you know, as opposed to Betty and Veronica, who were constantly, you know, fighting over Archie. But Midge, I forget it. I always thought, man, why isn't there, you know, there'd be Archie comic, then there'd be a special Jughead edition, there'd be Betty and Veronica editions. I was up for a Midge edition.
I'm going to have to go back and pull up some vintage Midge on the internet.
Well,
I don't remember Midge that well.
Well, the big star, of course, the breakout star out of all of this has been Lily Reinhart, who plays Betty, and the relationship between her and Cole Sprouse, which became a real life thing. They started going out for like over two years, and they were like the darlings of the fan circles, because here was the actual Betty and Jughead were actually a couple. It's very funny. It is wonderful. The best part was, Tina, there was a day a couple of years ago. This is before the pandemic, where they were doing everybody at school. They have these theme days. You know, there's some days at, you know, purple and gold, which is Salem's colors. but there was Character Day. And so I had bought, on the internet, I had bought Tina one of these Jughead sweatshirts, you know, with the yellow, with the up and down vertical line, you know, the sweater that Jughead always wears. Well, and Betty would frequently wear, on Riverdale, Betty wears Jughead's sweater. And so we put Tina, we got her a Betty ponytail, and she put her hair in the ponytail one day and went wearing this outfit that Lily Reinhart, it was so great. And I put it out on Twitter, actually. I'll go find that. You'll get the biggest kick out of it. She went on this Character Day, she went as Betty Cooper, which is very appropriate. There's other days we dress her up as Betty Draper as well, but that's just for me.
Very good.
And I obviously play Don.
Well, that went without saying.
Yeah, I not what's his name, not the New York Politico that she ends up marrying later in Mad Men. No, that wasn't as engaging. And I call Tina Birdie, and the whole it's a little, you know, it's a little silly, but well, we've managed with Seth. Good to talk to you. Oh my God! You can't say we don't have fun on.
It's another crazy segment talking about Archie and the Addams Family. Who would have thought? How do you bring that back around to racing?
You'd be surprised what I can do on this show.
Well, I'll bring it around to racing. There are two shows popular culture entities that I don't think have ever had horses named after them.
Thank you. My thanks to my friend Lou Arellano, who reminded me. Raul Julia is who I was drawing a blank on.
Right.
Gomez. And Leslie Knopf did too. I was away from Twitter, so I didn't see the answer. Thank you. Thank you both. That's true, actually. I may have to slip some of those in. Well, this is a naming potential for Nick Alexander. He's the one who names after sports stars and athletic stars, and we may have to convince Nick to.
Or Al Gold.
Well, Al's got his own unique brand of his wacky sensibilities in terms of Seinfeld and The Odd Couple. He's got his own font of naming candidacies.
I was thinking The Odd Couple and what's your name, the No Bra Woman.
Well, he also on The Odd Couple, the Felix's brother. He's got the horse he named after Felix's brother. The Unger. What was the brother's name?
I am trying to think.
And Al named
one of my favorite shows. I can see the character, but.
Al named one after, particularly after somebody like that, you want it to be a good horse so that it gets publicity. That's the whole, you know what? Al saved probably the best name for his best horse when it came to Cyberknife, which got all kinds of publicity for prostate cancer and awareness.
Yeah,
treatment,
right? Floyd Unger.
Thank you, Floyd Unger. Well done. That was one of Al's good ones. They're all good. And he names them after friends. My Italian rabbi, and he's got a million of them.
And he's got the nice one in the steak coming up on
Instant Coffee.
Saturday.
Instant Coffee.
Who I think looks pretty good on Saturday.
Absolutely does. And we just talked about this group with Sid in the last half hour. Back when it was a racing show.
That seems so long ago.
So long ago and far away. And oh my God. I'm just pulling up Al's. I want to see. Well, one of his best was. He's got Alice Cramden, Wendell Fong, Full Count Felicia, The Fabulous Moolah, The Sleepy Chipmunk, on and on. The Goddess of Snakes, Rosemary Potatoes. Al's just a font of these. Who's the one that, there was one from about 2 or 3 years ago that was, that we loved. And I'm, let me go back. Who else that, Good Shabbos, who looked like he was going to be a nice horse. The one, Fixed Income Larry?
That sounds familiar.
I think it was Fixed Income Larry, when you asked him about the name, he would tell you, "Well, that's my man Larry. That really is Fixed Income." that was a Venu Malcano, and Al's got the Gold Square horses are always a lot of fun. Let me, Seth, let me pull out what we talked about. I want to, what are you featuring today on your sheet?
I did Tampa and Gulfstream on the one sheet.
Oh, all right, good. So you can, I've looked at three races. I looked at the 7th, the 8th at Gulfstream and for a double, and then the featured 7th at Tampa. So go wherever you want. Let's do some handicapping.
Well, why don't we do some Gulfstream first, and I'll tilt towards yours, but I will start in the second at Gulfstream. I like Oasis Jack, the number 6, 4-1 on the morning line, and Tapazar, pretty good sire of win early types, and this one showed some nice speed last time before fading and dropped down to this level, but there's a couple of siblings that will win early. It was considered one its career debut. Another sibling called Sweet Mission won in the 3rd career start, so we'll see if this one can live up to the older siblings. I thought a 4-1 that horse was a little bit interesting. In the second I said 6-4-7-1, but I think Oasis Jack is a little bit intriguing in the second at Gulfstream.
4-1 with Jaramillo for Jose D'Angelo. And feels like him and, I guess, Too Much Vino probably, right, is the other.
That's how I add. And then Aquila has potential. You know, that last, I'm just going to draw a line to the race before that, I think. First off, the claim for Ken Sweezy. That horse may be a play or two. But if the morning line holds up on Oasis Jack, I think that one's interesting.
Very cool. All right, 4-1. The 6 horse in the second race. These are maiden 3-year-old fillies going 5.5. And you mentioned that having shown speed in last, that has always been a favorite angle.
I was going to bring that up, but I didn't know whether you were still on that. You,
yep.
You loved the
oh, yeah.
fence in the previous race.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that for a number of years. Yeah.
And
you got me onto it, so now I like it too.
Yeah, no, these young horses, you know, early in the careers, and this is a very good time for it too. A horse that maybe didn't show any speed or much speed at all in their first start or their first couple of starts, and then all of a sudden you see that they either were, when you mentioned the picket fence, them 1-1, and then maybe they faded, you know, maybe they just got a little tired late. But usually when you see that, that is a shot across the bow that a horse is going to take the next logical step. So put that one, file that away in your handicapping toolbox.
In mine, already in mine.
Exactly. See, I did, that's so nice that I rub off on you in ways other than the things that I torture you about.
Bad ties. covers there. And now I have to watch Wednesday.
And Riverdale. How about the 7th and the 8th? Let's give them a double, because I think there's a crazy morning line in the 8th that we'll get to. But some thoughts about the 7th, first of all, because a couple of different, depends on how you view this group. But it's either wide open or a couple of horses you could lean on.
I'll be interested to see where you went. I went 6-3-7-2. I thought the Kathleen O'Connell runner on the race two back was kind of live. And then, you know, when you break out of the maiden, you move up to the next condition, it'll take a start or two maybe to figure it out. And I thought she ran very well. She had the picket fence, ran very well. And I think she benefits from that and moves forward. She was the beaten favorite. We'll see. The morning line is 3-1. We'll see which direction she goes. But wheeling and dealing off the win in a similar event last time when I'm on in the afternoon, I talk about these horses every once in a while and say, why not right back? They won in a similar event. Maybe they put a couple together at Lasix this afternoon. And Singing the Oldies is maybe the interesting horse at the price, again, if the morning line holds up. But another one coming out of a maiden breaker claimed out of that, and with only the two starts under the belt, there still might be some blue sky for that one. So I went 6-3-7-2.
I agree. With Angelic Gal, with the Kathleen O'Connell, 3-1 with Perez, and I'm less interested in wheeling and dealing. But on the outside, Go Nikki Go, the Antonio Seno, I think at 8-1 is my price horse with O'Connell. There's also a horse that on my first pass I kind of highlighted. That performance at Belterra by Inquita. This is a Golden Sense filly of Fausto Gutierrez. And, you know, Gutierrez's horses are running okay, but he hasn't won yet at the meet. He's 0-10 coming into the week with 2 seconds and 2/3. So looking to get off the duck. And that performance, from a fig standpoint, on both scales, on the two scales I kind of looked at, they... That race, I mean, if she can get back to that in any which way, she'd be competitive.
The drop she did may just outclass him a little bit in here too.
Well, Angelic Gal, the horse to beat for me, and it feels like Go Nikki Go is going to take a step forward here, and having Luis Saez doesn't hurt either. So three is the big lean for me with. Go Nikki Go to try to boost up the exacta, which gets us to this conditional allowance, 5 on the turf. And there's some familiar sprinters in here, including that train to Artemis, who got very hot last year. But making my move for John Kimmel, if she comes back to that race last, forget it. I mean, I and 6-1? How is she going to be 6-1?
Yeah, it's a competitive race, though. I put her down the fourth spot. I had Train to Artemis on top of the last effort. I thought One Identity was kind of interesting, comes in good form, and the number fired last time certainly matches with these. Paco Lopez on board, and Love and Money also, I think, is a player in here. You know, again, relatively lightly raced, came back from a long layoff last time and ran well. Bullet workout since. And all of them, I think because it is a competitive race, the morning line on all of them looks kind of attractive. So I'm going to be interested to see where the betting public winds up shifting, or if the betting public makes a lukewarm, you know, 5-2, 3-1 kind of a favorite in here.
All right. Well, I'm putting everything through making my move Ortiz for John Kimmel, and you know, off a little bit of a freshening. I did not look at the workout report, but feels like, you know, this one comes back close to that Honeybee performance, and she's gotten better as the year went on last year, and you know, she got back into a swing of regular turf starts. She got very good, won 3 of 4, and making my move for me for the Bromans, who came up earlier. I suppose. You know, Cassie at 15-1, Ambassador Luna, One Identity, I guess, is my other horse, the 5 for Rowan Crichton.
Yeah, no argument.
All right. So there's Gulfstream. Anything else from Gulfstream?
No, nothing jumps off the page.
All right, let's turn to Oldsmar and take a look at Tampa Bay Downs.
I'll kick it off in the sixth. You know, I'm kind of master of the obvious here with the 5-2 shot. But I think it's a race where maybe that holds. But I thought Barber was a little bit interesting on the class drop. And I looked, and over the last 3 years, not a lot of starters, but 2 for 9 for the trainer making a 50% class drop. And I think on the class drop, this one is maybe a little bit interesting. I like the cutback, too. So I use Barber on top. I have it 2, 7, 8, and 3 here in the sixth.
All right. I did not look at the sixth. What are you doing in the seventh?
Seventh race. I went 4, 5, 2, and 6. I put Mission of Joy on top. Grand Motion runner that looked good on the move to Tampa last time to break the maiden. I said it before. A lot of times these horses can take a race or two to figure out the next level, but it seems like the way she won the maiden, she shouldn't find this a big obstacle. We'll see. Graham also has Grand Oak in here, who is the morning line favorite. Comes in out of a string of stakes races and gets back to the more proper non-winners of one other than. So on that becomes dangerous. And Christophe Clement coming over to Tampa with Tall Girl, I think, is a player as well. Another day gone by could make things interesting at, 8-1 on the morning line, comes over from Gulfstream. I could see that one playing, too, but I have a 4, 5, 2, and 6.
4, 5, 2, and 6. And the 4, for me, I mentioned this race earlier this morning, that the 2 and the 4, the Motion and the Clement, feel like the most likelies. And I don't get... Grand Oak is 9-5 favorite, and I think that's a little overly ambitious. I suppose it's because of the string of stake tries and the fact that this one went to Royal Ascot. I guess that's a big deal. I'm sorry. The Mission of Joy and Tall Girl, I would prefer either one, including Mission of Joy coming off the maiden win. And here's Tall Girl getting first Lasix with the calendar turning for her.
That's one where I'm going to be interested to see where the betting public does go, because I'm kind of with you. But I do think the betting public is going to look and see that string of stakes races and probably tilt there.
All right. Tall Girl is a First Samurai for... Mike Caruso, and for those that have not made the mental leap yet, Michael Caruso, as you see him in the program, for the longest time, of course, was Bethlehem Stables. And I'm not sure what prompted his decision to make the move to his own name, but a longtime partner with Michael Dubb. And for those that... I haven't had Mike on the show in a long time, but a famous schoolboy wrestler and one of the greatest in the history of Pennsylvania, which, of course, produces as many great wrestlers in this country. If I'm not mistaken, in his high school and then in Bethlehem and then his collegiate career at Lehigh, was beaten exactly one time in his entire wrestling career. Hall of Famer Michael Caruso.
Yikes.
How about that?
And that's a tough sport, too. You got to make weight. Yikes.
Yeah. Look him up. An absolute legend. And now a legend as well in the insurance business.
Coming full circle.
The square circle. Wrestling. Well done, Seth. Look at you, huh? Like just like that, like a steel trap, you. All right.
I got one in the ninth, too, though.
Go ahead.
Toss out. Ninth race, it's... when I last looked, they were still on the grass for conditional claimers. I'm going to go with Blue Neath at 5-1. Trainer not showing any stats, and I look back and didn't have a starter going back to the end of 2022. So no starts at the meet, obviously, but I went back the last couple of years down at Tampa and 6 for 23, 26%, 3 for 11 on the turf. And I think Blue Neath I like the horse before I even looked up the stats. I think this horse is going to fit nicely with this group. Gallardo on board today, so 5-1 up. I'll use a little blue neath in the ninth. I have it 6-5, 2-1.
There you go. All right, plenty of action, and Caitlin Free is going to join us momentarily to look at the Turfway action as well. So we wanted to spend the last half hour talking handicapping. And so, Seth, I appreciate it. Are you doing TV?
No, because I had the day off on Monday, the holiday, so today's going to be my holiday. I'll be back in tomorrow for TV.
Excellent. All right. Capital OTB, everybody.
Pixar on the website. Yeah, capitalotb.com. Pull up the one sheet.
There we go. Seth, I appreciate it. Seth Merrow, too, everybody, on your Twitter. Talk next week.
Good luck to everybody.
There you go. Beautiful. Seth, I love it. A lot of fun. That was fun. It's always fun with Seth. Now, I'm, of course, Caitlin Free is going to join us. And, of course, I'm going to have to ask her if she's watched Wednesday in Riverdale, because it's clearly become the question of the day. Caitlin Free, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. And thanks for joining us on short notice, because Shapiro, they shipped Shapiro off to New Orleans.
They did. He is currently in the van and headed elsewhere.
He'll be at Fairgrounds the next few days. We'll talk to him on Friday and look forward to the LeCompte card. We've already made a few references this morning to the LeCompte, and of course got the Silver Bullet Day and everything else. But I reached for you at Shap's suggestion for Turfway, because you've been doing plenty of Turfway handicapping, and this is another tremendous card. I mean, anybody that says they want big fields, an interesting, you know, race analysis and dynamics, they've got to be looking at these Turfway cards.
I agree. This is kind of the best product that you're wanting to look for right now, especially during the winter, for all of those things. Deep card, overfilling races. And I mean, really, this is one thing that I've noticed, especially since, you know, the new year has come, is obviously we have strong cards on Saturday for stakes racing and such as that, but the Wednesday cards are especially strong to start out the week. There's always plenty of allowance races. I've noticed there's a lot of main special weights, and that's really what the entire late pick five is about here with this sequence.
All right, and before we launch into it, you have to answer the question of the day.
Okay.
Are you currently, or have you been watching Riverdale and Wednesday?
I used to watch Riverdale.
All right. What?
I got bored with it.
Okay.
And I have not given Wednesday a chance yet. So.
All right.
I need to get on that.
You do, because there'll be a quiz later. When next time you're back, we're gonna see how you liked Wednesday.
Okay, I will give it a shot.
All right, sure. And Riverdale's final season is starting, so if you want to just sort of, you know, send a fond farewell. We actually, Tina and I actually, after about season three, we kind of meandered for a little bit, but then we sort of caught up, and so we're kind of tied on.
That's about the same time that I got away from it. I was like, I'm not sure where this is going, and I really enjoyed the first two seasons.
Yes.
So yeah, I'll have to definitely get tied back onto it, but it kind of lost me and went in a couple different directions I wasn't expecting. But.
Yeah, this is... For those that had Riverdale on your at the races bingo card today, you're a big winner, and the Adams family as well. All right, let's start with those two maiden specials back to back. Fourth race.
All right. Really, when it comes to this race, there were really two horses that stood out to me. It was the Rusty Arnold. Spears Mill was kind of the direction I was leaning, and I was able to dig a little bit deeper. And I know Rusty isn't one that usually pops at first asking, but he's 27% with maidens making their second start. Doesn't have the best numbers over the all weather, but I mean, going 6.5 furlongs on debut here about 3 weeks ago, she was only beaten a half a length. She obviously wants to step up to the mile, and Rusty said she's doing absolutely phenomenal, as good as a horse can do coming into an X race. So she would be one that if you were maybe looking for a single, that would probably be the one I would maybe gravitate toward the most out of the whole sequence. But then I looked at the 6, Masani, daughter of Flincher for Sherita Beau. She race at a mile and 16th last time out. She was four wide, had a little bit of trouble, and just kind of got swallowed up in the end. So I think the cutback is going to be ideal for her. Cherie's off to a really good start here so far in 2023 with a stakes win from a horse that I wasn't expecting, that way stepped up in class. So those were the two that I really looked at in race number four, but I feel pretty good about Spears Mill.
Very good. So the five and a little bit of six, and then we've got a more intriguing group, and one of the shocking developments really of the winter, Caitlin, has been this kind of group, $70,000 purse. These are horses that normally you would have expected to see at Oaklawn or at fairgrounds, but this kind of purse have kept them in Kentucky, and there's some very fancy horses in here.
There absolutely is, and it throws that wild card in there, obviously, with the synthetic and the allure of the purse. Hard to look against Paulo Lobo for a first-time starter. The City of Lights, I actually took some pretty good notes on the this one, Public Garden, the number two horse. City of Lights, like City of Light, they're getting kind of better with age. He has really big numbers for his three-year-olds, even though we're already not super far into the year. I believe he's about 36% with his three-year-olds right now, 50% out of a small sample size of them hitting it first time asking at three. So it's out of a Bernardini mare. It's the same family as Proud Spell. So with everything going for Paulo Lobo, 23% first time starters, 29% around one turn. I gave that one a big shout in there, the two Public Garden with Joe Ramos up, 33% with Joe Ramos here at Turfway. And then one I gave a pretty big look at a price was the nine Lady Lowry, daughter of Munnings, for the Will Walden barn. Not huge numbers first time asking for him, but 32% around one turn, 23% at synthetic. And I mean, he's at 38% in general over the rolling calendar year with Jack Gilligan. That's his main man. They've won a stakes here at Turfway. And the breeding on this one's by Munnings. And the female family is the family of Smart Strike, Dan Smartly, and all those Queens Plate and Turf winners sprinkled on in there. So I thought that one at morning line at 15-1 was one to definitely throw in. But Steve, if I'm being honest with you here in race number five, there is a few scratches. The Brad Cox is out, and the two also eligibles are out. But I can make a case for probably six or seven horses in there.
So who runs the world comes out, because certainly yes. if she had stayed in, the daughter of the nice stakes filly Lucy and Ethel. I will mention down inside there's two horses at double digit numbers, Caitlin, that have got kind of a mixed message, and that is Garden Bell from John Enos and Mike Tomlinson's Heart Spin. Both from a pedigree standpoint, Garden District, Garden Bell's dam, and Frivolity, especially Heart Spin's dam, they were both fast early. And the problem is both Enos and Tomlinson, neither are strong first out types, but there is some heritage for talent. So keep an eye on Garden Bell and Heartspin out of this spot. I don't know if today's the day for either of them, other than underneath, but both of them come from some talent on a pedigree basis. Then we get to this conditional allowance, the sixth race going 6.5. There's some very good familiar horses in here.
There absolutely is. The one that really surprised me the most was seeing Gunnett in there. Speaking of Shapiro, me, him, and Joe Krizofek, we were talking about horses the other day that we're so used to seeing so often, kind of our enigma horses, as we call it. And Gunnett is like the big one that we always talk about, that we see him at Churchill, we see him, you know, all over New York, Oakland. You see that horse everywhere, and I swear it's like almost every week. And we had just mentioned him 2 days ago, and then I opened up the overnights on Saturday, and I was like, are you kidding me? Here's this Gunnett again. And now he's at Turfway. And for whatever reason, Steve's horses, he's got a second and a third so far here now in the winter meet. But his horses, for whatever reason, as good as they are everywhere else, Turfway is just not their spot. And I've never really understood that. So he will not be being used. But Nighttime for Dale Romans did extremely well last time out against what I think could possibly be a horse that could go on Pat Turfway and be a force in the older male division, Visitant. He ran really well after a bad beginning. to run second to Visit Hot last time out. He's the number two horse nighttime for Dale Romans. And then Bad Beat Brian, he made his first start at Turfway last time out, and I thought ran a decently credible fourth after some time on the bench. And the Brittany Vandenberg barn is heating up now that the new meet has started. So those were the two that I really picked out for the group. There's a Mark Cassian here with the Hot Buzz Boy while he goes up. So I thought there was a few different ways. Friar Lawrence has had a win here. So three or four of them for sure that I thought you could make a case for in this race. But it's not a huge field.
Well, you mentioned Nighttime and Bad Beat Brian. The Cassie is Gary Barber's Ready for a Fight. 6-1 offers some value, and that's who I'm interested in. Let's get to the 7th and the 8th, the late double. We got about a minute and a half.
Okay. All right. Well, I liked Stock A in race number 7, but that one did end up coming out. So when I had a look at it, Ravella making the first start against winners for the Bill Morey barn. It's kind of where I was looking. He's just so good winning up again off of already having a horse win, especially at their main break and stepping up against winners. And I looked at Worry Free for Godolphin and Michael Stidham. That one I thought ran really well professionally to break the maiden here. And then when I took a look and looked at our 8th and final here coming up, let me turn my page here. Queen Tapiture was the one that stood out to me, getting on the class drop and stepping down and trip. Tapiture, great breeding for the service. Ran at this condition last time, or two times back, going a mile, and she was second best. She was only beaten a couple of lengths, so I think stepping down and trip, I think it's going to be really kind of where she wants to be. And then I took a look at the 13 that drew in off the also eligible for Michael Stidham as well.
The 13?
Chippewa.
Well, Chippewa fits our theme from the last hour, which is the Adams Family Value, Camp Chippewa. How do you, that's so funny. Oh my God. You want to talk about a lock? It's Chippewa.
I was going to say that one is the hunch bet of the day.
Without a doubt. We all want to participate in Gary's vision. Oh my God. This was terrific. Caitlin Free, of course, and Caitlin, are you doing some of the videos or for Turfway?
I'm actually doing the whole simulcast show, actually. This is the second year that I've been doing it for
right.
Turfway, and I do some of the videos for Twins Fires as well. But, yep, this is my second year doing it, and Schaff and I share some of the video responsibilities. But I guess it's just me right now since he's having fun down in New Orleans.
Well, and we'll watch for it, and It's Caitlin Free on Twitter, right?
Caitlin E. Free.
E being the middle name.
Yes, E being the middle name. I made my account several years back, and I guess there's some other Caitlin Free in the world that's the regular
there
name.
There you go.
So I'm like, okay. So.
I love it. Well, I'm delighted to get you on. Caitlin Free, everybody. And follow on Twitter. And there's some help for tonight's terrific action at Turfway. There we go. That's our Wednesday get together. And thanks to Seth and Caitlin and Sid and Dick Powell. Good luck today, everybody. Back tomorrow, Thursday edition. Some Clancy's and much, much more. Talk to you then. Rich Ang, of course, as well. And we'll start to get excited about Fairgrounds on Saturday.
Like sheep of the angels riding down the line. We think there is a soul.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping,
boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo STEVE200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.